The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And welcome to Sports Talk 1240, the second hour on this April 24th, 2016. I'm Gary Harding, and alongside John Panarese, it is Game 6. Two of the biggest Islander fans you'll ever know having to sit in a studio tonight, not able to see the game and have to talk about it. Well, John, how are you?
All right, all things considered.
All things considered, but you know what? We got to do other business first. We are going to take your phone calls in the second half hour of the show. The number is 631-888-8811. If you are somehow at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, we want to hear from you. We know it's 1-0 after two periods. We know it's that the times are trouble right now for the Islanders. Josh Bailey is hurt, didn't come out for the third period as well as the second, but there's still 20 minutes of hockey left. But in the interim, we're going to talk about the Long Island Ducks, and we're happy he took time out of his schedule to come and join us for a few minutes. He is the manager of the Long Island Ducks, and he is former Met Kevin Baez. Kevin, it's Gary and John. Thanks for coming on Sports Talk 1240 tonight.
Thanks for having me, Gary, John. Thanks for having me.
No, no problem. So the season obviously started, and unfortunately not the the best of starts that you'd want to have. Give us a little give us a little insight of what happened in Somerset this weekend.
Yeah, just not a good combination of pitching and hitting and fielding. Today was we didn't get pitching, we didn't get hitting. The other day we went extra innings and lost in the 10th. Just didn't come out of the gates like we wanted to. But we're not panicking. It's four games. We feel like we have a good team, and we're looking forward to starting here in New Britain.
It sounds like again, you got a good amount of players returning back, especially John Brunell, one of your stud pitchers, of course.
Correct.
Everybody knows about Lou Ford and a bunch of the other guys, but it looks like you've really stabilized the team. And again, good testament to Mike Pfaff and the guys up in the office. So it's a lot more of a more comfortable situation working with a lot of guys that you're pretty much familiar with.
We had 16 or so guys, 21 actually from the 16 from last year coming back. So, Brunell, like you said, coming back, Lou Ford, Dan Lyons, Burroughs starting the season with us, Puckett, Cody Puckett, Philip Lentini, Delta Clare. So just to name a few, and Mike Blank, the catcher. We feel pretty good. We got some speed up in the front of the lineup. We got some pop with Ford and Burroughs. To Cody, he's the first year playing with us, Blake Cody, center fielder. He's been impressive thus far. Made an excellent catch today and get some good hitting out of him, this early. So, we're okay. Just, you obviously want to go off to a good start and, just not pleased with the 0-4 start.
You have a couple of, new guys, Long Island kids, on board as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. We got, Kern. We got Lomangino. Let's see who else we got. Anthony Vega, Long Island kid. We got a couple of Long Island guys.
Is it, I was just reading through some of the stuff and I just couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it. When you're talking about Lentini, and I remember seeing him doing so much damage to the Ducks over the years, and now I know this is his third season. Is it true he went through the whole year and didn't get caught once?
He's
46
he's
for 46.
All time independent, stolen base leader. He's amazing. I mean, he's 37, 38 years old, and you wouldn't think it. He just goes out there with so much energy and passion for this game, and he still plays like a little kid, and we're glad to have him on our team.
Well, that's exactly what you want to have. And again, we mentioned about Brunell. Again, he won, I think, wasn't he the top pitcher in the Atlantic League last year? I mean, he always seems, every time I see him, at the ballpark, he always seems to put a solid outing. Even though he's given up three or four runs, you can always count on him to eat those innings up. I mean, that's exactly what you want for the Atlantic League.
No, you hit it on the head. I mean, he's just a guy that doesn't shy away from the moment. He's pitching the championship games for us. He's pitching, you know, many playoff games for us. He was on opening day starter the last couple of years. So, you know, he's just a proven pitcher in this league. And I know what to expect when Brynell takes the mound is that he's going to be consistent. He's going to throw strikes. He's not going to be afraid of the moment. So, you know, we expect big things from him.
Now, for people who may not be that familiar with the Ducks lineup, can you kind of summarize, you know, positionally, you know, who what players should we be watching for this season? Who's really going to be the guys you're going to be your go-to guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, we hope all of them are going to be our go-to guys. But basically, our lineup is, like I said earlier, we got some speed up in front. We got Lentini leading off. We got Delta Cleary, some speed and some pop. He's a switch hitter. Lou's batting third. Burrows is batting fourth. I had Ducote and Lyons of fifth and sixth. And I got Puckett with some pop as well down the lineup and blank catching. And then I got second baseman Barbara batting ninth.
I mean, you're talking about Dan Lyons again. For those who are very well familiar with Ducks history, obviously, you know, winning the championship from that one year. And that great play to end the year. He just seems to get so much better year by year. I mean, it's you know, I remember when he first came up and you could see the look on his face even from halfway down the stands that he didn't have a lot of confidence. But for whatever reason, after that one particular play, he looks like he can conquer the world sometimes.
Yeah, you know what? You hit on the head. His confidence. And then last year, you know, he batted third most of the year when Lou Ford got picked up and went to Mexico. He batted third for us and just was amazing. And he won the first ever, Gold Glove Award that'll be handed out to him, Thursday, our opening home game at Duck Stadium. So, he deserves it. He works hard and, it's a great kid too. So it's good to see good things happen to good people.
Right. And I mean, we interviewed Lou Ford last year and I absolutely enjoyed it. He seemed like, this was obviously, it was a couple of weeks before he left for Mexico, but it seems like he just absolutely loves this environment, working with these kids doing all the helping for you as well. Just give the other people out there a little bit of a description of what it means to have a guy like Lou Ford in that Duck.
No question. I mean, he leads by example, first of all, and second of all, he's in there in the cage doing some early hitting with the guys, and he's also the hitting coach too, so. Has that preparation with them and, gets them ready, not only, hitting off the tee or flips and stuff, but, talking about the situations and pitches and how they can approach and stuff like that. So it's, does a lot.
And he still hits like a madman too.
And he does. And he still could play the game. He's amazing.
Just a little more, info from the Ducks. I mean, how much, I know Buddy's been around since day one and he's still there, but how much of a factor is it also having him, I guess, with some of these guys, especially with the newer guys, I guess, coming in, you know, they don't know much about the area. I mean, is Bud still as much of an influence as he was when you were playing in your last years?
Absolutely. Well, Buddy was my first major league manager.
That's right.
And then we come full circle, and now he coaches here with us, with the Ducks, especially at home games. The whole spring training, he was with us, introduced him to the guys before we even started. Everybody knows of him, obviously, but he still throws batting practice, still hits ground balls, and not only that, just talks to the guys and relays all that knowledge that he has from managing, from playing, coaching. So very, very, very valuable to me and very valuable to the Long Island Ducks organization.
Now, just a more curious question. You deserve a lot of credit yourself. I mean, how difficult is it managing in a situation where you have such potential turnover and guys coming in and out and who can go either come into the independent league, end up in the major leagues again, or come
absolutely.
How do you juggle something like that as a manager on a daily basis with your lineups and trying to figure out who's going to play where?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a minor league system. So, when somebody gets picked up, Mike Farr, does a great job, talking with me and looking for guys that are available. But in the meantime, sometimes we have to juggle and, what I call is, guys that are maybe on the bench now, they get an opportunity to play and, you know, proved that they could play in this league. So it gives another opportunity to perform and play in this level.
I mean, truthfully, do you have to put on one of those "Hello, my name is" little stickers? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the count was like about 60 to 65 guys that you had in the lineup at some point. During. It's
and
crazy.
The great story was Rich Hill last year. He was with us for a little bit, and now he was opening day starter for Oakland A's. So it's and that's what we're about. That's what we talk to the guys in the beginning of the year. Spring training, we talk about, there's an opportunity to get where you want to get, an organization and get back to the major leagues. This is a great place to do that.
Now, could that be an opportunity, I guess, to maybe even to help some of the newer guys that are coming up and, maybe getting Rich Hill to talk to him for a couple of minutes and say, hey, look, this is the thing you can do,
absolutely. I mean, we could do that, but just by our past, players that prove that you come to this league, you perform, and you get an opportunity to go back in organization and hopefully, like I said, get back to the major leagues.
Okay, so Kevin, you're in New Britain this weekend with a new team, the New Britain Bees, who obviously just replaced the Camden River Sharks. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so you're there for the first couple of days this week, and then Thursday is the home opener?
Correct, yeah. We're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, home opener. At 6:35, out on Long Island.
Well, Kevin, we definitely appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes, and we look forward to you. And hopefully, I'll come over and say hello at some point during the season.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Kevin, very much.
Thank you.
Thank Mark, Mike Pollock for me too.
You got it.
All right. Take care. All right. That was Kevin Baez, manager of the Long Island Ducks again. For those of you who have never been out to Bethpage Ballpark, you have to go see the Ducks. It's a great program. It's an inexpensive night out. Every Saturday night is a fireworks night. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's great. I highly recommend it. And
it's affordable. I mean, compared to, major league parks and what you pay to feed the family and everything else.
Exactly. Top tickets, $15.
Right.
I mean, you can't
beat
pass
that. Taking your family.
So anyway, is it possible to go to a commercial quick? Kind of early, I know, but I want to do it early because I figured we'd probably get people calling in. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break now. I know I've asked people to call in early. 631-888-8811 is the number. We're taking a quick break. We want to talk to people either at Barclays Center or watching the game tonight. Let us know what's going on, because unfortunately, John and I don't have cable in the studio, and we can't see the game. So please give us a call, 631-888-8811, Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for?
Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back, and we're still without cable TV in the studio, and we're freaking out because we know it's 13 minutes and change left in the third period. The Islanders are still down to the Florida Panthers, 1-0 from people we've talked to. Whether online or on Facebook or on Twitter or what have you, Florida definitely dominated the Islanders in the second period. We know that Josh Bailey left the ice, late in the first period, has not returned. We heard that Jágr had left the ice, but, has actually returned back. I think shots right now are 23-23. So again, you know, as this game has been, and I think they made a statement on the broadcast early in the game, like 88% of the 5+ games right now have either been one goal or no goal or even the whole time. There hasn't been much of a two goal advantage. Well, there was a 3-goal advantage for about a minute until they reversed the call.
Right.
You know, but, this is as even a series as you could have absolutely asked for or wanted. Whether you were an Islander fan or not, you know, this is definitely two teams with equal ability, and the stats have shown it all the way through, you know, and as a stats stats guy like I am, you just love, you know, seeing a series like this. You might be happy if you're winning a series 4-0, but you know, as a fan of the game, as a student of the game, you want to see something closer, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, that's why it was nice that some of these other series kind of, you know, got to be interesting a little bit, other than really the Tampa.
I mean, after Steve Mason gave up that 110-foot goal, you know, and it was 3-0 Washington, you're like, oh, great, they're going to walk through this. They're going to have a week off before their next game. And sure enough, they switched goalies. They brought Michael Neuvirth, the former Islander, in. And he came in and won game 4 at home, which was nice, and then pulled off the game 5 win. And I mean, that was incredible.
And he deserved a better fate today.
Oh yeah. He was standing on top of his head. Absolutely. But, again, if you're listening to the show, if you're watching the game, we definitely want to hear from you. 631-888-8811 is the number here at Sports Talk 1240. We're dying to get some information. Rich, I know you're online. Rich Cronish from Manhattan. Please give us a call. I need to hear
some of my other friends out there who said they were going to call.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting some updates from one of my buddies, a former Islander season ticket holder friend of mine that lives in Texas. He's been giving me updates and letting me know what's going on, but it's getting tough. But while we're waiting for this, could you believe that Dallas game though?
Oh my gosh!
Up 4-0, and then I'm at dinner, and all of a sudden I turn back and I see it's 4-3.
Well, like, they scored 16 seconds apart. They got the first and second goals to make it 4-2.
Yep.
And then they made it 4-3, and it was like holy cow! And they almost tied it, and then Dallas came back and made it 5-3, mm-hmm. And then Minnesota got one more.
Right. Yeah, right now the shots are 24-23 in favor of the Islanders. Just looking at stats real quick, Oposo leading everybody with 7 shots on goal. So, you know, he's trying to get things going. Clutterbuck he's got 3 shots and he's only played 7 minutes because he was out the first period getting 3 chicklets.
He got hit with the puck.
Yeah. Total accidental play. Nothing severe. But again, what you're seeing right now, 18 minutes and 35 seconds from John Tavares. How many shots? 0. As John Tavares goes, so goes the Islanders. Yep. I mean, that's you got it, you know. And again, listening to people on Facebook, this drives me nuts, okay? It's just absolutely crazy how people think these guys are not working. I mean, come on. You know, be real. These guys know the ramifications and what's going on, and they know what they got to do. Maybe it's just the fact that the Florida's playing a little bit better of a game right now. Let's see. Looks like Kuhlman's going to the box. 10 minutes and 30 seconds
great.
Left.
Great.
In the third frame. So Islanders got to kill another penalty. I think they've killed two so far.
I'm curious if those of you who call in about the officiating, because they were really commenting a lot in the first, which Goring was in particular, about how they were kind of letting a lot of stuff go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what you want. I mean, you know, I've, you know how many times I've said this to you and on the air. I was like, you know what? As long as the refereeing is consistent, do it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's not, and I think Butch even used the same word, and I'll use a goringism. It wasn't, if it's not egregious.
Right.
Okay. If it's not totally off the edge, crazy, stupid penalty, then do it. I mean, obviously the call that they made in game 5, you know, when basically, I don't remember who the player was, that just slashed Tavares' stick and it shattered in two. I mean, that you have to call. You can't get away with that. I mean, obviously the old wooden sticks, that wouldn't have crashed, that wouldn't have broke, you know, understandable, but you know, it is what it is now. You have to call those things. You know, they're going to let some of the pushing go and they're going to let some of the slashing.
Which is fine in the playoffs.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You want to let the boys play a little bit, but if you're going to make calls, you got to make it on both teams.
Right.
If you're going to let stuff go, you got to let go on both teams.
Exactly. I mean, Islanders now 29 seconds left on the kill, so we're talking about nine minutes and change left. Supposedly the PK is doing an outstanding job, and they've been doing an outstanding job the entire series. I don't know the exact numbers and things, but, you know, we got 9:29 left. And again, you know, the Islanders have been a strong third period team throughout most of this season, especially late in the year. You know, and some heroics would be nice. Again, the number to reach is 631-888-8811 is the phone number.
I have a feeling everybody's just watching the game.
Again, as well they should. Penalty has been killed, so that's good. I'm actually sending notes to people on Facebook to tell me to call. But, again, so we know we didn't get to talk about this and, the Taps, song for Derek and the Rangers, but I'm not going to get crazy on that yet. Granted, you know, and John Sweeney, his partner, would be a little different than us, but you know what? Pittsburgh just in the last three games just dominated the Rangers. I mean, there's nothing they could have done. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, Henrik Lundqvist is going to get, you know, fed to the wolves for his effort. And in an unusual case, he really admitted that his lack of consistency helped to their team's demise. I mean, there's no other way you could say it.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't just, you know, I mean, let's face it. The Rangers stole a lot of games this season because of him. And then you got to look to the other 19 guys on the ice, or 18 guys on the ice, you know. So if you want to blame Henrik, then that's all well and good. But take a look at the other guys who underperformed too. And I'm sure Derek would agree with me.
I'm sure Derek would
give you a blow-by-blow of, you know, where things broke down and who didn't show up to play.
And I think he's on next week, and I'm sure he'll have a post-requiem for that as well. But again, we're still at about at the 9 minute mark left, 8:40 actually, and they are on TV timeout. Shots are 25-25. Three penalties on the Islanders, two penalties on the Panthers. Hits are 35-25. 12-8 Florida on takeaways. Faceoffs almost even, 30-28 in favor of Florida. So everything is equal. There's been no clear advantage either way. I mean, you know, Thomas Greiss has been absolutely superb for this team, and I'm sure the one goal he gave up wasn't anything of his fault. It's probably something
he said he was screened from what Goring thought.
Exactly.
When he saw it.
Exactly. So you know, it's just so hard to sit in this studio and knowing what's going on, and you know, do we have to worry about a game 7 on Tuesday night? You know, the Islanders have won two games in Florida. It's actually pretty
– I just want them to get it over
get
with.
It over with.
Just
exactly.
Get it over with,
I mean,
so I can enjoy my trip to Pennsylvania this week.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, we've had some – I've had some very nice, playful, and again, not – you know, good banter with my friends from the Florida Panthers Booster Club, and I know they're all meeting somewhere right now. And like we've had viewing parties in the playoffs so far, you know, with the Islander Booster Club, and it's been nerve wracking. And I know my wife is sitting at home, you know, as crazed as I am right now about this. But again, let's just talk a couple other things while we have a quick opportunity. And that's with a sweep of Atlanta, 11-7 right now. You got to be, you know, thrilled considering as bad of a start as they had. They've come back.
People were pressing the panic button a week into the season, which just absolutely floored me with a 162-game season. I'm not going to mention any names, but he kind of looks like my cousin Ralph was already throwing in the towel.
And, you know, it's funny. Even Kevin said it. You know, the Ducks are 0-4, but you can't worry about something that's happening now. You can always correct the situation and do what you need to do. The Mets have had their pitching going all along. I mean, they've only really had basically, I think, only two or three stinkers. You know, Matz's first game stinker. Harvey had one stinker. And other than that, the starting pitching has done well. You know, they've had cases where they weren't hitting. Then all of a sudden they got to Philadelphia and the bats decided to say hello and wake up. And, you know, Curtis Granderson, who was hitting 0-40, you know, had a great weekend in Atlanta, has brought his game back up. So, I mean, they're doing well. They're only three games behind Washington at this point. That's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah. You know, we haven't played Washington.
They don't play them until the middle of May. I don't think they play for another 3 weeks yet. So, you know, you got time. You got a lousy Cincinnati team who got shut out 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, including a no-hitter on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Jake Arrieta.
Oh, he was absolutely brilliant. I watched some of that broadcast. And, you know, realize that it's gonna, you know, it's a long season. You know, it's April 24th. You know, I mean, you know, if things aren't working yet, you know, at some point they will. You know, David Wright had a not so great start, but he's picked up well. He's doing, you know, what you expect him to do. It's just, you know, you just can't expect him to play every game. I'm just typing in a phone number here.
You can't expect him to be playing, you know. I mean, based on his medical situation, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs, and they're going to have to give him off once in a while.
Right. I mean, I think that people were talking maybe 120 games this year, and that would be fine.
That would be great.
Because you have a few other people that can come in and do the job and give him the day off. Obviously, you're going to have interleague games where he can maybe DH a game.
Right.
Rather than be in the field. So, you know, you can only hope that, you know, that can string him along and coming in. Okay, we got a call. You'll know this guy. Hey, Paul, what's up, buddy?
How are you guys?
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you?
I just wishing for cable.
Gary, whatever hair you have left, it'd be gone by now.
Is it that bad?
To be honest with you, it looks like I'm watching the 97-98 Devils.
Oh, you mean Florida's trapping them to death?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at 1-0, 2-1 games, and the Islanders, I don't know. Believe me, right now, be grateful you're not watching it yet.
I mean, because it looked like they came out well in the first period. They had a few good chances. Luongo made some nice saves. They looked like they were dictating, they were dominating the play, but what happened? Is it because I'm wearing my Josh Bailey jersey?
actually, we may blame you for that. Josh Bailey has not been playing ever since the first period.
Right. He's not been on the bench. So obviously, I know one of my friend in Texas was giving me info, but he's listening to the NBCSN feed, so he's not getting anything specific. Did they say anything about Josh?
No, there is nothing specific. To my knowledge, I'm watching the same thing.
Oh, that's right. You're right in Pennsylvania. I keep forgetting about that.
Correct. But, no, he hasn't been on the bench, and we wouldn't be told much anyway. It's an upper body or a lower body.
Yeah, that's right.
So. Or a brain injury.
Yep.
Which a lot of people have been saying about Josh. I know I've been defending him, and you know how my wife feels about him, so.
Yep.
So,
I got to give this, though, to the Islanders. They've been playing a close game the entire time. I haven't seen that killer instinct yet.
I haven't seen it. As we said earlier, you know, Tavares has got 19 or 20 minutes in the game and no shots. I mean, what is with that? Is it just that they're marking him so tough?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Franz Nielsen was just put on their line this period. And I think Franz is a very big factor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just, oh, They didn't get one. I'm watching the game and talking to you guys at the same time, so I'm multitasking.
Yeah, Luongo just made a huge save. That's what I just saw.
Yeah. No, Franz was just put on that line for the third period. I don't know if they were trying to get some extra scoring from the other lines, but
Tavares now has a shot.
You know, Huberto, I got to give him. It was a lucky slash good shot. You know, he was on his way down. Looked like something like ricocheted off of someone else's stick, and it went top shelf on Grice. It was just one of those fluky goals.
Grice didn't see it. Butch Gorin thought that Grice might not have seen it or might have only seen it at the absolute last moment.
Absolute last minute. You know, that's not a goal you're gonna hang Grice on at all. That was just, you know, puck luck as far as I'm concerned. It was just, you know, good goal by Huberto on his way down.
Right. First goal of the playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah, the first goal. Yep.
Yeah, so we're about 4:45 left or so.
I'm looking at 4:23 left, and Grice just made a save, so there'll be a face-off in the Islander end, and they're taking a TV timeout right now.
Okay.
But, yeah, this Islander team reminds me of the Devils of the mid-90s, early 2000s, where they're just trapping, they're waiting for Florida to make a mistake, and the Islanders have more turnovers than the Florida Panthers this game,
I think. You have the crowd on you. Why would you want to play that way? That just doesn't...
I don't know. From what I'm looking at, it's looking like the Islanders are playing not to lose instead of playing to win, and Florida's just taking it to them.
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Islanders just obviously just had a power play and they didn't score on it, which wasn't good.
No, and there's only one guy actually blocking Luongo, and that's not how the Islanders have been scoring.
No,
they've been scoring off rebounds.
Getting the puck high.
Yeah, or getting the puck high, and they have not been doing it. Now, to Luongo's credit, he's made some very nice saves tonight. You know, he's definitely kept the Panthers in it. But
I mean, have you ever seen a series that has been this even? I mean, even on shots, even on goals, 88% of the time it's only a one goal or an even score. The hits are almost equal. The takeaways and giveaways are almost equal. Face-offs are equal. It's like facing your twin.
Almost. Yeah, you know, it is close, but the issue is the Panthers have been leading for most of the series. And
right.
The Islanders are always trying to play that underdog, and they have to come back in the third period, kind of like what they're doing tonight, and trying to pull off the miracle wins, and they have to stop that.
Right.
They have to start scoring first, like they did not do again. And they have to build a lead, and then they can trap all they want. But I don't know. This should not be an underdog team. The Islanders should be winning this, and they're not.
All right, well, listen, we're going to let you go because we got another call on the line. So we'll
– Okay, guys.
All right, thanks for calling, Paul. Keep your fingers crossed. Keep the faith.
Yes, Gary. How you doing?
Hey, Bill, what's up?
It's about 4:15 left. It's still 1-0.
Yeah.
You had some good shots. So just giving you a heads up on the game.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. Long time no talk. Are you doing all right?
Well, I was out of work for 6 weeks.
Oh, well, that's what are you going to do?
Yeah, with sciatica.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez, I know that feeling.
Ooh, pain in the butt. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. But I lost 35 pounds on it. So.
Oh, hey, well, that helps. So you thinking the same thing we've been thinking? It's just that there's a lack of killer instinct with these guys tonight or what?
Yeah, I think so, but they've been getting some shots at Luongo in the past minute.
Again, maybe to what Paul was saying earlier, the last call about the fact that they were getting, that they moved Fonzie up to John's line, and maybe that might be the case. You've only got a shot on goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all you got to hope for, but we just got to keep the faith going.
Yeah, it was a good game the other night with that overtime goal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need days of Quine and Roses again, I think. What do you think?
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, listen, I appreciate the call, Bill. Thanks for the info. Keep
your
faith. Keep your fingers crossed.
Again.
All right. Take care. Thanks for calling. Anyway, so we got 4 minutes left. Luongo's pouncing on loose pucks. Right now, according to my friend Keith in Texas, they're saying the fourth line is cycling really, really well. Again, that's what you hope for. You just got to, you know,
a lucky bounce
how many
to tie
times,
the game up.
How many times have I ever said to you, John, that we need one of those Mark Parrish off the butt goals.
Yep.
You need something
absolutely
like that to happen for these guys to get their act together and to get a to make a change in the weather here. We got right. Again, we're at 3 minutes and 29 seconds left. If you're listening, give us a call. 631-888-8811 is the number. We're just hoping and we're praying that things just happen a little differently. Just put some other facts on what we're talking while we wait for something to happen. Can you believe that the first time ever, and again, I'm not a big football fan, but I didn't realize this, first time ever that both the first and the second pick of the draft were traded in the same draft?
Really? Who else? The second pick was?
Yeah, Philadelphia's got the second pick now. They traded it from Cleveland.
Really?
I think. So LA's got the first pick, and they're gonna grab one of those quarterbacks. I mean, this other one, this guy coming out of North Dakota State, that hotbed of football. But they say he's like an unbelievable stud, you know, like size, you know, stature, everything, you know, just went to a small school. And, right now we're sitting at 215 left. Oh, this is getting crazy. Oh boy. But, we need a miracle right now. That's what we need. So let's see. So obviously the Jets are picking, I think, in the 20th spot. The Giants are picking 10th. Nothing else going on with that. So
when is the draft?
I think is Thursday, and it's not in New York anymore. It's actually in Chicago.
Right.
Chicago has the draft, which is quite interesting. Not to have all the people in Radio City Music Hall where they used to have it every year. So I guess they won't have. I guess they were tired of all the Jet fans booing every year. Which is probably the case. And just like looking at the super stats real quick again, Travis Hamonic. Actually, he's not leading an ice time, and usually the Islanders win when he does. Nick Leddy is on for 24 minutes. Actually, Hamonic and Leddy were on the ice for the goal, along with Cizikas, Prince. Yeah, that's only the show. They're only showing four. Yeah, no, Prince. Yeah, Prince, Leddy, oh, and Brock Nelson, that's right.
Line was partially changing.
Grice is off to the bench with a minute 30 left, so this is it. This is it. Either we're going to overtime or we are going to be talking about a game on Tuesday. Oh, and all we could do is pray, and everybody's, of course, is not calling, and Facebook has really been quiet. I'm really surprised.
I think people are just mesmerized at this point with the game, yep. And it'll probably explode.
Yeah. Well, here's some comments. Seems like this series has been an away field advantage. Maybe we're better off in Florida. Oh, we tied the game. Kuhlman just tied it.
All right.
Okay, so we are at a tie game at 1-1 with less than a minute left in regulation. We are going to overtime, which means we can listen to the game in the car on the way home, and there is joy in the studio, John.
Oh.
There is joy in the studio.
Thank you.
And even Paul just wrote, holy, you know what. Bill's back on the line. Bill, you back on the line?
Oh, we lost him.
We lost him. Oh, sorry about that. But yes, we got the goal. We are happy to hear that. So,
That place is probably erupting.
Yeah. Brian, do we take another break? No, we don't. Okay, we'll go for the 20 minutes. It's okay. I wasn't sure. No, it's up to you. Yeah, you know what? Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick 2 minute break and we'll be back on Sports Talk 1240.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, we needed a minute breather. Bill, you're on the line again.
Yeah, the Islanders scored with 55 seconds left. It's going into overtime right now.
Oh, thank God. And it was Nikolai Kuhlman that got the game tire. So that is.
No, it wasn't. It was John Tavares.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, JT? Tavares is fourth.
Oh, because we had
got it.
Oh, he tipped it in?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, I'm seeing that. Okay. Somebody wrote Kuhlman and then said, somebody wrote on me, correction, Tavares, who cares? Tie the F game.
Yep, we're going into overtime.
All right. That is great news, Bill. Thanks for that feedback. I appreciate it.
Okay, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Wow. We are going to overtime with 15 minutes left.
Now they got to win this one. They got them 55 seconds left. That's got to hurt the Florida morale.
You got it. You know, anytime, whether it's in the end of a first period, second period, or even a third, when you get a goal in the last minute, that deflates your team.
So,
again, remember, there was a stat that came on the board in the first period in the game tonight. It said that the Florida Panthers have lost their last 7 overtime games.
Okay. Let's make it 8.
Okay, and who has the best overtime record in National Hockey League history?
Yeah, the Islanders do.
That's right. We're over 69% of the time we win in overtime. So it is a great, great thing for Islander hockey right now. We are at the overtime point, so 18 minutes worth of breather, and by the time we close out the show, we are literally going to be running to the cars, and John is going to actually show me his 100-yard dash.
Not really.
Yeah, exactly. But the one good thing, you know, I mean, obviously the signal is hard to pick up, the Islanders radio signal where I live up on the North Shore. So thank God for WFAN to come through for us, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We should be talking about another radio station like this, but that's okay. You know, at least they'll have the coverage on it. Could you imagine what Chris King is going to be like if he's scoring overtime?
Oh.
I mean, you know, I have seen him, you know, obviously you've sat in the press box above him. I've seen him so many times. And when something big like this happens, you know, I mean, Chris is a man that's follically challenged, should we say. And, you know, some of the veins are popping out when he gets excited when they score.
I'd love to hear his replay of this goal.
Oh,
he must have been like.
Oh my God. Yeah, that probably would have been the best thing. But again, if you're listening, you're in Brooklyn, you're home, you're checking out the game, and you're listening to us, give us a call, 631-888-8811. You know, Ralph, where are you?
Yeah, you just texted me, Ralph, about telling me the Islanders tied it.
Right, exactly. I'm trying to get our buddy Rich, in Manhattan to call because he made a comment to me and I said, you know what? I said, this is the most important game in the last 23 years. And he started to give me a tirade almost about it. I'm like, but you got to be kidding me. You know, what game has been more important? We've had a chance to close a series.
He's got an interesting perspective and, you know, I like Rich.
I love him. I think he's great.
And, you know,
but I just,
he called in when John and Derek and I were on, and I think Derek ended up hanging up on him for some reason.
Yeah,
or another.
I wonder why.
So I want to apologize, Rich, because I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah.
But let's look at the scenarios coming up. Obviously, in the Metropolitan Division, the Washington Capitals ended that series with the 1-0 win tonight. They're going to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's going to be a
That
good
is going to be
series.
A bruising series.
I got to catch games for that series.
I mean, you look at the two teams, very physical, very offensive. Now obviously the advantage to Washington would be in the net, but again, you look at the way these guys have set in, Zach Coffin and Murray have come in and done quite well and made it through past the Rangers very handily as a matter of fact,
right,
without Marc-Andre Fleury in the net.
Right.
So you have to wonder about that and wonder what will happen if Marc-Andre comes back. Will that be an even series? Hey John, guess who's on the line?
Who would that be?
Caller?
It's Ralph from Staten Island. What's
there he is. I knew he would show up at some point. He's like a bad penny.
There you go. Well, the good news is the Islanders have just tied it up with 53 seconds left. We're going to go to overtime.
That's it. We are going to overtime. So Ralph, tell me, were you running back and forth in the bathroom in the last 5 minutes or what?
Nothing. These last two games, I've been shitting my pants. No,
watch your language.
Yeah.
Ralph.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
What's up?
Well, you can't curse on the air, Ralph.
That's not a curse.
It's Staten Island. It's not a curse.
Yeah,
but.
Right. So tell me, what was the last 5 or 6 minutes like? Were they definitely?
Guess what? It was dead. They weren't doing nothing, and they just came out of nowhere for some reason.
Was it? I mean, they Paul, our guy from Isles Talk, mentioned earlier that they moved Fonzie up to the first line. Do you think that might have been a part of it? That
I think
because JT didn't have any shots in the first 19 minutes he played.
No, what happened was the second period was all Florida.
Right.
Florida was they were just killing the Islanders. So look, didn't look that good. The third period they played the trap zone like the Devils used to play.
Yep.
Right.
And then I see that at the end the Islanders pulled the goalie.
Well,
obviously Letty rushed up the ice. Started the rush, and then there was a loose puck in front of the net, and Tavares was there, and Luongo thought he had it, and then Luongo didn't have it, and he just tapped it in. That was the end of that. That's how it happened.
No, that's the captain being the captain, right? Right. That's
exactly.
What you have to,
the desire to,
you know,
win.
That's it. Yeah, you know, no matter what happens, you got to play that 59th and 60th minute
of
as hard as you play the first.
No, you know, you don't want to go to Florida after this game because Game 7 is Game 7. Anything can happen.
Right.
That's true. I mean, forget the fact that the Islanders have won 2 games in Florida. It doesn't matter when it's a game 7.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you got to win any way you want if you're a good team. But, you know, you want to end it tonight and just that's it. Over. That's it. You don't want to go back to Florida because this is a tough series.
No, I don't want them going back
again,
to Florida.
Well, again, as I was saying to John earlier, I have never seen a series, you know, statistically as even as this. Almost every stat is even.
You're right, Gary.
You know, you've 90-something percent of the game has been either one goal or even advantage. Nobody's had a big lead at all in any part of a game except for the 3-goal lead, which was vanquished. So anyway, listen. All right, well, we got some good news, and you're happy now, and let's hope you're happy a little longer.
Let's hope
that they end it, and I'm predicting. Who's going to score the goal? Well, Pulso in overtime.
All right. That's what I want to hear. All right, Ralph, we're going to let you go. We got another caller on the line.
God, you guys be good.
All right. Take it easy, Ralph. Thanks.
All right. John is on the line. John, you're on Sports Talk 1240.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
We have a match. We have a game.
We have a game indeed.
I can't. I'm in Disney walking around my island, a hat, shirt, all gear, kids all loaded up.
That's it. Representing for us.
On my phone.
You're representing the L.I., right, baby?
And I just got off Splash Mountain, and I'm screaming, yes, yes, yes.
not because of the ride.
Yes.
As long as you high-five those Disney personnel.
Yeah.
The second period, they didn't play well at all.
No, they Florida definitely dominated them and then actually put the trap in the third period. And what happened, truthfully, what happened from what Paul from Miles Talk told us, that they moved Fonzie back to the first line. And somehow the tie turned. You know, they obviously pulled Greiss and, you know, things happened.
Thank God. JT comes through once again. It's incredible.
Yeah, it just shows you why he's a captain. So now where are you in Disney right now at this moment?
Yes, we're going back to the hotel at Animal Kingdom. We're saying that, yes, but. I'm going home. Hopefully I'll catch the game.
I was just
going
to say, you've got about 12 or 13 minutes to get yourself
to a bar,
a hotel room, wherever. Yeah. Does your room have NBC Sports Network?
Yes, it does. Yeah, I think it's on NBC. It's on, yeah.
It's on NBC SN. Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
So go back to your army days and double time.
That's right.
And get back to your hotel, man.
Did he brought back on?
Yes, yes, yes. Go Islanders, right?
That's right. That's right,
hey,
babe.
Great show, guys, once again.
Hey.
Thanks for calling, John.
Right,
guys,
I appreciate it.
I'll see you soon. Thank you again, all right?
All right. Take care, buddy. Get home safe.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's John Sweeney, the other half of the Sweeney and Wasiak show. Calling in from Florida.
He's on vacation and he calls into the show.
On vacation, exactly. But that's what good fans are.
That's right.
You know, they.
Hey, I would do it.
Hey, I do it too. But you know, I mean, I'm hoping, like I said, hopefully in a couple of weeks we can talk again. Actually, isn't Derek and John on next week?
Are they? Are they on next week? Or are they on the week after? They're usually on the week after us, but I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
but no, actually they're not on at all. No, he's actually got Bill Donahue on next week. So I don't know. Maybe not.
Oh wait, Derek said May 1st, I think.
Yeah, well, he's not listed for May 1st, but maybe.
May 8th, I'm sorry.
Oh, May 8th, okay.
I think he said May 8th.
Okay. All right, no problem with that.
I think that's what Derek said.
But, wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the way to end the game. And thank God. So, just gotta see, they're gonna, actually, we have about 5 minutes to go in the show. So, as we were saying, Pittsburgh and Washington.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great matchup.
If Fleury comes back and is healthy, to me that's a pick-up series. And you wouldn't have thought, in any stretch of the imagination, that the team that overwhelmingly walked away with the President's Trophy for the best record in the NHL would have an even matchup.
Right.
In a second round series.
And that's going to, I mean, that could go seven. That could easily go seven, that series.
Yep.
And there's going to be guys hurt.
Sorry. And, you know, you're looking at the Western Conference. Anaheim's up 3-2. Looks like they're going to go for the game four win, tomorrow night against the Nashville Predators. That's been a very strong series. LA, San Jose. I'm surprised LA.
I can't believe that.
LA
that
just
shocks me.
Dead.
Shocked me. I really thought it was going to end up being an LA Chicago, you know, conference final.
Yeah.
Round three.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chicago makes it a fight. You know, down 3-1.
Exactly.
I have a really good friend, Steve, who's a Blackhawk fan. He was, you know, really ringing with confidence. His line to me when it was 3-1 was, "We got him exactly where we want him."
Yeah. Well, you can't deny, you know, all the experience on that team. I mean, every single player on that team has got such experience. And you know, St. Louis has great talent too.
St. Louis is just there was a little. Discord between Tarasenko and Hitchcock.
Yeah.
At the end of the last game.
Yep.
Some words were exchanged.
And again, so they will meet, obviously, the winner of the Dallas-Minnesota series. Dallas, who won the series. So Dallas gets a little bit of rest, and they are the number one seed, so they will have the home ice advantage, which is good for my nephew, who is a big Stars fan living in Dallas. And, you know, maybe if they make the finals against the Islanders, maybe I'll go to Texas.
Yeah, it could be.
That would be a nice thing. But, you know, I can't be so sure of that. But, you know, we've got a couple minutes to go, and I'm just going to end the show with a little music, interlude. I'll let that go when we get done. But John, unbelievable. You know, the way things was going and the messages I was getting on the boards and getting from my friend Keith in Texas, I thought, oh God, we got to deal with a game seven. We still might have to deal with a game seven. You don't know that, but.
Yeah, but I just hope they just come out and just finish this quick.
Yeah.
So Ralph says opposed, so I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to say Hickey again.
That would be interesting. Let's see. Who am I going to pick? It's going to be interesting. You know what? I'm going to go with Brock.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Brock Nelson. That'd be nice. Yeah.
It'd be some redemption for Brock.
Exactly.
Like Brock.
He struggled a little bit. And I mean, who would have thought Ryan Strome would be out those two games? But you know what? Picking the choice, Strome, Quine.
Yeah.
I think Jack did a good job.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, the last thing I'm going to say before we go off the air is I just can't stand when people are ripping up on the coaching staff. I mean, they're doing a great job with these guys. You know, they're getting as much effort as they can get out of them. You know, they got the series what they want it right now. And let's just hope that good things happen.
Yes.
For our guys.
Absolutely.
Tonight. You know, it would mean so much to make it to the next round. You know, as Howie was saying, they want to go to Florida after the game, but they want to go to the West Coast of Florida, not the East Coast of Florida.
That's right.
You know, I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning are waiting for him. That's going to be, I think, another great series, another solid series. You know, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing that happen. If not, we're going to cross our fingers for game seven.
Yeah.
And, John, we made it through it. We made it through an hour.
With our sanity.
Exactly. May 15th, we're back again. Hopefully we're talking about the third round at that point.
Right.
Bill Donahue, I know, is on May 1st. I think Derek and John are on as well. We will see. But again, if you want to reach out to us, I am at G Harding WGBB on Twitter. John is at Hockey Blindside.
Right.
And obviously you can always call the check out the show, sportstalk1240.com. You know, we also write on Al's Talk, and actually we're hoping to get our own personal podcast going very soon. We could talk about sports and the Islanders and the Mets and other things, other related. But, John, great show.
Yep, same here.
And like I said, we're gonna end you, with a little bit of music that the Islanders go on the ice with. Usually that's at the beginning of the game, but it's a little bit of Coldplay action for you. But, again, thanks to Brian behind the glass, as always, does a wonderful job. John, great job. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
You got it.
And, I'm Gary Harding, and as my old friend Bill Hayes says, keep skating, everybody, and let's go, Islanders, and have a great week.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.